Just start with something that's non-crucial while people filter in.
Okay, I'm going to start the first. I want to apologize to you folks because I don't know how to sit without, you know, it's no disrespect, so I'm sorry. Okay, so I'm going to start the report by just visually showing you the new site. The new Pacifica.org actually officially, formally was launched yesterday, actually Thursday evening, Friday morning, to commemorate the beginning of the new PMB. That's good, right? That's not exactly true. I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention. But okay. So I'm going to just give a quick overview of the site before we get into the report. I also want to say that this report, both these reports are in your packets, and there's a lot more detail than we can cover. John and I wrote. John, for the most part, did the bulk of the writing this time. Over 27 pages, I think, of technical reports. Two different reports, one on HD radio, which John will go over, and one on general operations. So before we get into the tech stuff, let me just quickly overview the site with you folks. This is the new homepage right here. From a content perspective, this, I don't know if you can see that, from a content perspective, this area here and this area here, John, if you can scroll down, is new for us in that this is a designated promotional area. Yeah, you've got your mouse right here. Okay, I've added a designated promotional area here and here, and then just beyond that is what's here says recent Pacifica programming, and then from the main content area of the homepage is, it starts off with public affairs programming, it says current events here. Here are five most recent current events tagged programs. Below that is another are hot items in news. I chose troop increase, Guantanamo. These are current issues. So here you have the five most recent programs that relate to troop increases, the same with Guantanamo, et cetera. This is all automated and can be customized and changed rather quickly by myself and other staff. Let's go back up. And so the rest of the page is just recent topics. We can change depending on when news breaks. We can have it on top of our site, et cetera. Now, let me just say, this software is not unique to Pacifica.org. It was developed. It's a custom application that is for radio programmers. And the intention here is to make it available to your local station sites as well. So when I say Pacifica.org, I'm not saying exclusively. It's live here, and it should and could be live at your local sites in a matter of weeks, potentially. And so here, for example, is a promo area where if you looked here a couple of hours ago while we were doing our live broadcast, there was another piece in here that said live stream right now. Click here to listen for our D.C. rally. At exactly 1 o'clock Eastern time, when the broadcast ended, that disappeared. It's all timed, all, you know, pre-set up, automated. So that's – go back to the top for a second. Another – you see here – along the side here, we have information about the board, information from the network. All these links come from Pacifica Network. All these links come from Pacifica Foundation. Just below that, you'll find links to the reports, which are online. The bulk of the reports are online, and the links are down here below. That's basically it. You can customize the colors, make it from red to green to blue. You can change the size of the font, the size of the width. It's very customizable for the end user. And in general, it's what's called Web 2.0 in that, if you can click on here, John, or one of these. Here. Right there. Yeah. It's Web 2.0, meaning YouTube, Flickr, MySpace. A lot of these sites have content, and it connects content similar around topics called tags. So what you have here, scroll down a little bit. What you have here is what's called the tag cloud in Web 2.0 jargon. And what this is just a series of topics that, beyond what you saw on the homepage, which was just limited, you know, hot topics, this is everything that's been covered in the last few weeks at least. And the larger it appears, the more frequently, the more segments relate to that topic. If you scroll down, you'll see Democratic Congressional Majority has been covered a lot recently. George W. Bush, Guantanamo has been covered recently a lot. But, you know, Doomsday Clock, I mean, everything that's been covered in the last few weeks appears here. So what the end user can do, the visitor for all of our websites, can then find programs by topics that they're interested in. whether it's Iraq war, whether it's Guantanamo, troop increase, jazz, specials, whatever it is, they can find the issue, Congress, whatever it is, click on it, and you'll find all the like. So here are all the segments related to Congress. Not that that's the most politically interesting, but so here you go. You'll see the most recent ones in chronological order. You can click on any one of these, and it'll take you to that segment page where you can actually listen to the file. There you go, play the show. And so this came from Democracy Now! On January 4th. There's the title. Here are other segments from that day. And again, the live link. So what you see here, I'm only featuring two shows. The reason I'm only featuring two shows is because these are the only two shows right now that are distributing on a regular basis daily programs, and that I have access to the content. A big goal for me in this year is to work with the local stations and your producers at your local stations, because they should have access to this, and they do have access to this. I need to train them, get the information to them, so they can start putting their content here as well. So don't be discouraged by featured shows and you only see Free Speech Radio News Democracy Now! The intention here, I've entered all 450 plus Pacifica programs in the database. It's ready for producers to start putting in their content. And the last thing before I go, the last thing is, when I said earlier about a progressive Wikipedia, this is how I see it. Ultimately, another feature will be added here, which actually shows you the related tags for this topic. So you'll see, again, Congress. You'll probably see Nancy Pelosi, other related issues. Then you can click on that and go to all other Nancy Pelosi issues or et cetera. So it kind of ties in all topics together. I'll leave it at that. I really recommend looking at it. There's a lot to it, a lot more than I can go over in a few minutes. I just wanted to give you a broad overview. It's very content-driven. Its hope is to drive tremendous traffic to Pacifica, not just, again, Pacifica.org, but all of our sites, because it focuses, it takes our programs and separates them down into individual segments. This is ideal for search engine optimization and other reasons. Very targeted. It brings the information in very targeted ways to our audience in ways they want to see it and hear it. And so that's the overview. Okay.
That's about...
You want to, this is the questions afterwards, I think.
Yeah,
is that okay?
John's taking
because
the next
half. Because we're going to go on to the court, probably won't answer, may answer.
You're taking the next half of the
question? Yeah, so let's get this down. And now let's get into the formal report. Okay.
Here's some of the things we've been working on. Websites. Just saw websites. Sorry, I'm not used to doing this in a group. These are some of the things we've been working on. Websites. You just saw one of the websites. We have web services. We've been streaming the KU. We've been helping.
We'll do more detail on that in a second, actually.
Okay. Well, this is just an overview. We've been doing tech support, planning and problem solving, server integrity and security, and intranet. Okay. One of the things that we've done is we've been working on compliance. We have a site called techport.org/wiki, which is our technical support wiki. And one of the things we have up there is a cheat sheet for stations for FCC public file compliance. A lot of the things that we've been working on, we get help from people. This was one of our affiliates. The technical person there sent us something, so we formatted and we put it up because that way we don't have to reinvent the wheel and we can get more done and many more things up instead of, you know, starting from scratch each time ourselves. Let's talk about the Operations Collective met, what was it, 2 days ago, and we finished a process that myself, Ursula, and Verna started, which was a set of rules for compliance with the FCC language regulations. And that's almost finished at this point. That's in its final stages. Okay, the HD radio report. Again, I worked with a number of different people from our stations, co-wrote it with a former chief engineer from WBAI who had been there about 19 years and had installed the previous transmitter. So we worked on this. We have a 15-page report. I hope both of the reports are going to be read by the people that are on the technical committee, and they'll have questions for us at the next meeting. So,
yes,
I know some of you already. you can call me if you have questions before the next meeting. Okay. So, okay. HD radio. HD radio. What we're going to talk about now is something that a number of the stations are looking into. And while regular traditional radio, great, I'm not taking this one. While traditional FM provides you one main stereo analog channel and two analog subcarriers, HD radio provides, in addition, a main digital channel, which would mirror the analog channel. In fact, that's going to be probably mandated by Ubiquiti, who is the people that license the HD technology, and two subsidiary digital channels. So let's go to the next slide, and we can look at, this is a traditional signal, and there's a composite here of that little triangle. It's actually a frequency graph. So this would be your center frequency, your carrier frequency, and this would be kind of how it would look if you did a spectrum analysis of that frequency and the surrounding frequencies of the analog mixed in with the subcarriers, the analog subcarriers.
Thank you.
this can you see? This is the iBox system. As you can see, it squeezes the analog a little bit in, and you have two digital blocks of data, which combined would hold your main channel and your two secondary channels. Okay. Here we have some benefits of HD radio, right? Primary channel mirrors the content of the analog channel with comparable audio quality with significantly improved multipath rejection and lower noise than analog FM signal. Primary digital channel will seamlessly fade to analog if everything is set up correctly, assuming the analog signal is delayed properly and the main digital channel has the same program content as the analog signal.
What does that mean?
That means that if for some reason the digital, let's say you're in a car and you pass in front of a building or something like that, and the digital signal, which is at a lower it's at a lower power level than the analog, it will, your radio, your digital radio would actually slide, it would crossfade into analog. So you would actually be listening to analog again. You have HD2 and HD3 digital channels for alternate programming. And CPB provides some matching grant funding for the conversion to IBOC. Okay, drawbacks. The FCC may change the IBOC standard in the future, which might require new transmitting equipment. If you look there, it says, to quote from Harris Corporation HD radio literature, official HD radio system standards have not been adopted by the FCC at this time. The FCC has not yet ruled on whether stations can broker lease either an HD or HD channel. I know one of our stations is looking at this as a possibility. So this hasn't been ruled on yet. Hopefully they're going to do this shortly. And This next sentence, without further CPB funding this year, stations who have not obtained the grant for implementing IBOC, if they chose to implement HD, will be charged reoccurring annual fees by Ubiquiti for the main digital channel and subsequent digital channels. At this point, if you're not doing this through CPB funding, it would be about $15,000 every year. If you do it through CPB, it's a one-time fee. But if you don't do it through CPB, you're going to be charged $15,000 a year. That's starting next year. It might be $25,000 just for that main digital channel. Subsequent channels to HD2 and HD3 would probably start around $10,000 per year, and that will increase also probably.
Now, what does IBOC stand for?
IBOC stands for in-band on-channel. In-band meaning in the FM band. On-channel is a little bit deceptive. It means that it's using the same space as regular analog FM. And if we went back to those original slides, you'll see that that here it's plus or minus 150 kilohertz is the bandwidth. And if we go to the next slide, we see that this is 198. So you're already starting to encroach on some of the, you know, there's another one over here somewhere.
So IBOX is the name of the new radio, digital radio?
It's the technology, and it comes from a company called Ubiquiti.
Could you just say who funds? Ubiquiti is from a consortium of companies, correct?
That's correct. I forget. It was Lucent and
Clear Channel.
Clear Channel. Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even read my own report. Clear right. Channel. Yeah. Clear Channel. I didn't hear that. Yeah. Okay. Some of the drawbacks. Right now, there aren't that many HD receivers out there at this point, which means that there are not that many people listening to the digital. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a problem at this point, because if it doesn't take off, being that it's expensive technology to implement, that is truly a consideration. Digital signal may cover less area because it's only 1% of the analog transmitter power output. Digital reception can be spotty in mountainous terrains and in urban areas with tall buildings. Another problem, which I found out because I was talking to one of our affiliates, he said that if you're using, let's say, an MP3 recording, the quality may be so degraded by the time that they play it. You know, it sounds okay on their analog system, but on the digital side, it can sound pretty crunchy. It may not be broadcast quality anymore. So this is something to keep in mind. And that secondary channels, you have basically 100, let's say 96 kilobits bandwidth for the digital channel, right? So if you just have one channel, you can use the whole 96 kilobits. If not, you're going to break it up probably something like 48 kilobits and 24 and 24, which means that the quality of those secondary channels will be less. Okay. Let's take a look at some of our stations. KPFT applied for the grant, and they were granted $76,000 last year. Their decision to implement HD radio was tied to a power increase granted by the FCC, right, and a signing of a new lease at their transmitter site. KPFT has received the first half of their grant. They may actually have received three-quarters of it at this point. As this report is being written, or actually being given, they are having their new analog transmitter installed. I think it will be installed in the next few days. And they're having their digital transmitter should be showing up in the next week. Okay, KPFK. KPFK has been awarded the grant. It is in the process of upgrading their equipment to HD digital radio compatibility. KPFK is not sure at this time, or at least that's what I've been told, that they will complete the conversion to an analog digital signal. Okay. KPFA. KPFA applied for $175,000 and was granted $75,000, and they have decided that they will not They will not take the grant at this time. They may be reapplying. WPFW received the grant but was not able to fulfill it due to lack of funds. They are preparing an application for the next grant period this January. And WBAI has not applied yet for the grant, and they are working on that application very shortly. Okay. Conclusions. HD radio is a mixed blessing. Some of the features are interesting. However, it is not an entirely well-designed technology, and its future may prove uncertain. With future standards in question and competing technologies in existence elsewhere, decision-making must include considerable analysis and risk assessment. HD radio implementation has a price tag that, without considerable outside funding, may put IBOC out of the reach of many stations. Additionally, any community radio stations that does not obtain or fulfill the terms of this grant this year, now I've heard that that's changed, that they may actually have a grant again next year, will probably not be able to afford the conversion costs, nor the increasingly costly yearly licensing fees that Ubiquiti charges. Okay. So that's HD radio, and I really want to thank some people, Bill Wells, who co-wrote the report with me, Michael Yoshida, Ed Bucant, Don Mussel, Jeremy Landsman, I know I'm forgetting somebody, Grayson Challenger, Mick Mylan, yes, oh, Mick yeah. Mylan, Michael Yoshida, a lot of people around the network. We had a two-hour meeting, and we discussed this, and we are going to have a meeting in this next month, and this is what we're discussing, which is the future of the KU system. This is our main method of distributing live content to our affiliates and our sister stations, and we have two separate program channels, which are the left and the right, and there are some problems. The equipment is aging. Both the demodulation equipment is failing at a lot of stations. Plus, we've had some problems with the uplink hardware, and we actually removed the hardware from WPFW that wasn't being used, and it's brought to Berkeley. But we have to decide whether we're going to stay with this technology, change this technology somewhat, or look for new technologies. And I really think since our contract with, once again, Clear Channel. Is up in 2 years, that we really need to start working on this now, because we can't just wait and say at the last minute that we're going to change it, because there are a lot of people that depend on this technology in our network.
And I just looked it up. The major investors were Viacom's Infinity Broadcasting, Clear Channel, and Lucent.
Yeah. Okay, is that...
The remaining time should be devoted to questions from the board. We actually don't have very much time because of the duration. Hopefully we can go quickly. I'm going to start on this side because I've been starting on that side. Michael, I'm just going to go around.
I'd like to reiterate that, if I understand correctly, the license for this HD radio is going to be like expensive in KPFT terms. I don't know about the big cities and if they have 15,000 a year
it
licenses.
It actually won't be, because KPFT went through the CPB grant. CPB.
I know that. I want to advise the other stations that, you know, if this is the thing that we need to do as a network, the board needs to know this, that we may be eating an opportunity here of saving 15,000, 25,000 next year. Those are the fees, the annual fees for the licenses, and as a board member, I have to advise us to think about that, if that's a substantial sum of money to us.
Sorry. Right.
John, you said that the KU satellite, the technology is aging, the uplink and downlink.
Sir, could you get close to a mic so it could be heard?
You said that the technology for KU satellites is aging, the uplink and downlink, and you would not be able to probably find the parts for
those.
That's
correct. Okay. You can't replace what we have now. You might be able to replace it with new equipment. Okay. But some of the equipment and the way that we've handled this, because we also have KFCF on the same uplink transceiver, we may not be able to do it that way anymore because the technology has moved on.
Okay, but already, aren't we distributing in another way also?
That's correct.
Internet?
That's correct. We have and we have plans which are in the report, but I don't have really the time to go through this right
okay.
now. That we're going to beef up our internet. This will be our backup for this type of system.
Okay, so the existing, the uplink and downlink little units, whatever you have there, what kind of age you give it to? You think it'll be in 5 years? It can last 2 years? 6 months?
I think that the DMODs, depending on when they bought them, they're three different generations of DMODs, and the oldest ones are failing now. And it doesn't cost to repair them because the traces on the boards are starting to deteriorate. And
okay.
it costs almost the price to buy a new one at this point.
Another question is the HD radio here.
Yes.
Why do you think the federal government is pushing this money, grants and stuff like that, when the reception on the other end is not that good? No, I understand.
Because I think that they have pretty good lobbies out there.
I do want to clarify. You said it doesn't cost to fix them. Did you mean it doesn't pay to fix them?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's very
I'm
different.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's next? Bob, was it? I saw your hand up. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm coming around, guys.
Yeah. I'll start with Pete on the website. It's really fantastic. It looks great. Congratulations. I just wanted to ask, in terms of the two featured shows, there is a third Pacifica Daily show, and that's the Spanish language news. So I'm wondering if you're planning to have both that in particular, but also more broadly to work with Spanish speakers to create an entire Spanish language section of the website.
Yeah, that's a very good question. In fact, the only way to facilitate multilingual is to have different sections for every different language, and Spanish would be the natural first to roll out. To be clear, though, we have other dailies as well. Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! Are the only two that post rundowns on their website, so I can't transcribe the Spanish
right.
rundown, and nor does anyone that I know that can. So if the folks that produce it generate daily rundowns, I'd be happy to include it immediately. And that's the same thing goes for all the staffers. The only real barrier is, and many staffers are already doing it. Many staffers have the rundowns of their shows in electronic format, so this is a perfect vehicle for them.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, and then for John, a really thorough report. I enjoyed reading it a lot, and especially because my partner, John Riley, who's also a producer of
mm-hmm.
BAI, spent a lot of time researching this
right.
question and found that there's a huge potential, that there's actually 19 stations in WBAI in New York that already use HD, and in each of our signal areas there's a large number of stations.
Mm-hmm.
And in Britain, the price of the receivers is coming down. I think it's now about $60.
You realize that Britain uses a totally different technology.
System. Okay, but I think we've seen the history where the price comes down over time as it becomes a mass marketed.
Well, it's going to come down somewhat, but you got to realize that at this point, Ubiquiti is charging $40. Licensing fee just on the chip, and we've seen the fees from Ubiquiti go up, not come down. So that's going to cost a lot in manufacturing.
They're a monopoly. That's
right.
Other technologies where there are other vendors in play, competition brings the price down. But in this case, they're a monopoly, so that may not happen.
All right. Well, I just wanted to ask. I know you very thoroughly laid out the pros and cons,
mm-hmm.
but if you have a recommendation at this point for the board, and I think the wise thing, just the last comment, the wise thing that all our managers, or four of them, have done is to apply anyway for the grant, and then that open keeps our options open.
That's correct. I really feel that if we need new transmitting equipment, that this may be a way that we can facilitate that. I don't know. I think we have to look at our other options. There are other options to get those extra channels, web streaming. We can actually get a much higher quality
mm-hmm.
stream out there. True, we have to pay for the bandwidth, but we also have a larger market. You know, the market for HD is whatever market you're in, how far your signal's going to reach. And if it's up on the web, you have an people can get it all over the earth.
Who's next, Rip?
Yeah,
I'm just coming around. So
I want to thank you guys for your presentation, because it seems to me in my short time on the board that you've been way ahead in what I would call a good internet strategy. And I know that in some conversations we've heard that we don't have an internet strategy, but I think that needs to be better defined. Internet strategy for what? Because you guys have certainly moved forward with an internet strategy to use our websites as a resource. And I'd like to ask this question to Pete, and really so that the board can hear this. Just on that one page that we were looking at, that John was scrolling up and down, I went to that page and I counted at least 42 links from that one page to other pages that theoretically are full of content. How can we get the content, for instance, minutes from these meetings, the calendar postings? What's your idea on, when you design this page, on how the board can accommodate the public who write us letters demanding, why isn't this on the website? Where can I find this? What's wrong with you guys? You know, that kind of comment that comes to us so often. And I'm just asking for your advice, and all the board needs to hear. How can we address that to get that content on there, Pete?
Thank you. I want to say, one of the reasons for going with these new sites in general were that they are self-service sites, to the extent that users, staff, board members, etc., can be given certain privileges into certain areas in the administrative side of the site. Not the public side, but the administrative side is where you develop and add the content. And so in the case of Pacifica Foundation, it's been the case for some time, board members can log in and put their own minutes and post events. That's been the case for some time. The barrier there is training and the perception that this is more work. But I did what I could do in letting you folks put it in there yourselves. I think that's the best way. I can, reports still come to me, and I put them when I can. But in terms of giving you guys direct access, I think that's the best solution. I want to. Yeah.
Well, then what I would take from that is that the board needs to have a talk with among ourselves to find out who and how that content's going to get put on, because I looked right now and there's minutes till March, and this is not a criticism because it's a huge volume. The architecture infrastructure is there, and so if we need to take a part in putting that content on, I think we need to be talking about that and getting that content on. So is that what you think that we need to do now? You've given us this. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't want to say that you folks, you're all volunteers, you put in above and beyond, and you really do. I appreciate that. I'm here to give support and tech support, but if it's going to be exclusively on me, it's going to be delayed because I skipped my slides. If you went, you can look in the report. I gave you folks a general overview of the kind of work I do, and I've got a full plate. I'm doing more than 40 hours a week, so that's why I said giving access to the board is probably the best solution. But
okay, Margaret. Margaret, and then we'll go to Chandra, who's over there, then Ambrose.
Yeah, just picking up on what you said about volunteers, and really appreciate this. I think this is great. It's going to be already a good resource, and I think it'll be even a greater resource for all of us. A conversation that's happening among unpaid staff is that a lot of the unpaid staff are feeling that there's kind of an economic divide between paid and unpaid staff, meaning that if you have the time and the resources, obviously Democracy Now! And FSRN have, some of them have millions of dollars to be able to, do all of the work involved in getting their stuff up there, then it will go up there. If you're a volunteer programmer and producer with wage job, kids, activist work, et cetera, very little money that you're already pouring into, Pacifica that you don't get back, just even finding the additional time besides putting a quality show together, a really quality show together, to then do all of what's involved so that you can take access of the wonderful work that you all are doing is something that we discussed and raised at the staff meeting we had at Kay. And there's a feeling that although a lot of Pacifica depends on unpaid volunteers, that there isn't sufficient focus and support for those unpaid volunteers. So not to put it all on you, but I think a challenge really for all of us on the board and for the GMs would be to look at the ways to come up with creative and cheap, not expensive ways to offer support to those programmers so that we can, you know, because we unpaid people can make a huge contribution to this sort of thing, but if we don't have the resources, we're not going to be able to do it. So I think if we are going to prioritize moving in this direction on the web, et cetera, that has got to be an integral part of it and a priority, because if it becomes a priority, we'll figure out a way to do it.
Thank you. Ambrose?
You want
to... Failure to convert to HD means we're going to lose some money. There's a Korean businessman's group out of New York City that was subleasing the VI subcarrier, and they were so desperate that they called Mr. Kriegler and offered...
This, I believe, is in a negotiation that's under...
Oh, it's still in negotiation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, because at least on Finance Committee, we have not discussed the matter at all in public session.
Okay. Good enough.
Chandra,
same thing with Berkeley.
Chandra, and then Rob, and then I'm coming back around the last two people. We don't have very much time, so please be brief.
I believe there are three Pacificus websites, and I don't know the difference. And if I don't, I'm sure a lot of other people don't either. And so I'd like to know what the difference is and how can we communicate that to the listeners so that everybody knows.
Well, there are many Pacificus sites, more than three, in fact. If you're talking about official, formal from Pacifica National that I maintain,
PacificaNetwork.org, PacificaFoundation.org, Pacifica.org.
AudioPort.org, TechPort.org, SupportPacifica.org, KU.AudioPort.org. You know, there are nine sites on a server that I maintain.
Is there a page that you can go to?
But the point is, the answer to the question is, they all have specifics, they all serve specific roles. So the AudioPort is a service site for our distribution within the network. The network site, which you see a clip up here, is really, and I encourage you folks to go to Pacifica Network, is really the network side of Pacifica. Okay, when I said earlier about Pacifica.org being more content-driven, this new Pacifica.org, the old Pacifica.org had a lot of problems with it, believe me. I was very well aware of it. And one of them is that it tried to be everything to everyone. And Pacifica has many roles. If you're on the board or governance side, your role is looking for board of governance. If you're on the network side and you're a client or an assistant station or a producer, you want resources, support, et cetera, you're looking for different information. But most of the people... Our Joe and Jane, web user, they're looking for content. They hear Pacifica, they want to hear, you know, about Guantanamo Bay and troop increases and all this kind of stuff. They want to hear our content. And so that's why this new site focuses on that. But if you see on the newpacifica.org, I have space along the right-hand column that takes people to the network side of things, the foundation side of things. And so as the site develops further, it will be clearer, perhaps. But it will be it's new. It's new for the network, perhaps, and it's hard to get used to change. But I think it makes sense from a business perspective to have targeted sites for affiliates. This, for example, brings in new prospects on a regular basis. Our old site was never able to do that. Ursula gets almost weekly prospects through the network site because we have a whole site basically dedicated to how to affiliate, etc.
Well, I have a very simple suggestion, or at least I think so. Like with the book, you have a table of contents, you have a title. Our title is Pacifica. So you go to pacifica.org, then you click on that, and it lists every single website with a link. So you go to Pacifica.org, and then you can go, and then you would explain what each site is. Okay, so there would be a definition. PacificaFoundation.org is where you go to get foundation information. Click here.
Okay. KU. We can have that design discussion after, because it's a large discussion, but it doesn't need to be. It's not a board issue.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rob.
For Pete, just very quickly, you don't have to get into the details, but how complicated is it going to be for us to create merchandising sites for our stations or for Pacifica to sell, to put premiums out there or merchandise from the local stations, or do things like create web pages for the individual programs and programmers?
Well, the new site has a main page for every programmer. So you can go to Democracy Now! And see all the shows there. Every show will have their own main page. So that's there.
Okay.
In terms of e-commerce, I go into e-commerce. I skipped about 15 slides for the sake of time. I skipped all my report for that matter, except for the first few minutes. So go through it. I address e-commerce very briefly.
I misunderstood. Okay, thank you.
But in general, my experience in Pacifica, and this is not a knock to anybody, you know, my experience is not that the technical barriers aren't the great barriers. It's the human barriers, you know, resistance to, you know, change, no buy-in, no trust. I can set up a Support Pacifica with an e-commerce store in a few hours with a, you know, simple look.
Gotcha.
But then who's going to, what are we going to sell and who's going to get the money? And that's not a technical decision, and that's, I can't get an answer for that one.
You covered. And John, thank you, Peter. I get it. Okay. And John, for the HD, are there alternatives? What are the advantages and disadvantages of some of them? And what do we tell people at the stations and in the LSBs that are convinced that HD is going to solve some of the, you know, the bandwidth problems that we got at the local station, or that HD is going to be the financial panacea that will help our revenue problems?
Well, that's a tough one. Okay.
In 30 seconds or less.
Okay. Well, what are the alternatives?
The alternatives are streaming, podcasting, the digital distribution that you were talking about today.
Uh huh.
Those are the alternatives. For HD radio to work, mm-hmm. part of our job is that we're going to have to either supply people with radios, offer them as premiums, or go out and tell people this is the greatest thing and have them buy them.
Or they buy a new car.
Right. Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Hey, guys, we don't have a lot of time. Thomas has his hand up. Now I'm seeing Lisa's hand up, and Pete needs to finish. So we're going to do a couple more minutes on this, but please be brief in your comments.
Thank you very much. My question was, how feasible would it be for PacificaNetwork.org to include not simply broadcasted shows or transcripts of the shows or summaries of the shows, but articles from journalists in Pacifica, articles from programmers and other staff people within Pacifica, and also articles from people outside of Pacifica?
Yeah, like a blog posting.
Talking about blog. Well, blogs too, blogs.
You can
I'm sorry.
Web posting. I'm sorry, Thomas.
But
it's ready to go right now. All we need is the interest, and you know, this site just went live, so when I go home, I'm going to start creating the how-to documents that give the step-by-step instructions to the staff. As soon as motivated staff are ready, the site's ready to go.
Thanks. And the last comment will come from Lisa.
First of all, I'm sorry that I had to miss part of this because I had to take an important call, and hopefully, I'm on the technology committee. I don't know yet. We haven't got the results. But maybe we can sometimes, I think there needs to be conversations, not as extensive as what happened on issues pertaining to distribution and licensing, but to, you know, sometimes open up maybe the tech committee calls or whatever to the people at Pacifica, you know, so that they will know, because if they don't know and understand that this is happening, and so often it's like you tell us and it's kind of like, okay, we got it, and we have to be much better about communicating. And so I think if we do that sometimes, that will begin to generate the kind of interest and stuff and maybe address some of the concerns you had as well, because this is my first time hearing that. But anyway.
Okay, could you wrap up, Pete? You're Pete, right?
Yeah.
The beard, the guy's beard. Can you give the guy the beard the mic?
I said this at the Berkeley meeting, and I want to repeat for the new board members. I want to impress upon you something I think that's very significant. We are discussing our reality, financial pressures, listener pressures, et cetera. But in the rest of the world, there's a tremendous move in technology. And I just to impress upon you, what I mean is, you know, in the 90s, you saw a tremendous growth in stock market pricing of tech companies. That was a function of a few factors. A big factor was R&D money. Billions and billions and billions of research and development money was given to tech companies to try things out, figure things out, and go with it. And what we saw was an explosion in technology from the mid-90s to the early part of the 21st century. And there was a moment where it kind of subsided. And there were other economic reasons around that. I mentioned Y2K. Many companies spent years worth of R&D in 1 year worrying about the Y2K bug. So they didn't do any research and development until 2002, 2003. Now we're in 2007. The stock market's going through the roof again. And the billions and billions of R&D is going into technology. And what is going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be a complete reshift of the landscape. The topography of technology distribution, how to make content. Increasingly, the end user can make their own video, their own audio at home. Software, hardware is getting cheaper and cheaper to use. This is the trend. So with this, with projecting forward, okay, what we discussed about licensing, what is mentioned here in this report, whether you think technology is relevant to you or not, I would suggest if you're on the board of Pacifica, please, this is a critical time to look at technology. And we can't just say, not now. Let's, because we are missing the boat. And I don't know how, I'm not trying to, it's not disrespect. I mean out of concern of Pacifica, that I've been here for 5 years and I've seen negligible change in technology and the consciousness that we have towards technology. I run around trying my best, sometimes angry, sometimes smiling, but I really would love this year for the board to be more involved in technology, that's all.
I'm going to take the moment to just add, for a long time, there are a couple of high donors that I have known about and talked to about this idea several years ago that I've been waiting to approach until I felt the foundation was really prepared to move. And I feel like based on what I've heard, I'm ready to go out and start soliciting major donations in a targeted way for a targeted fund to fund our movement. And I don't know if any other board members would like to join me, but I now have that confidence that donations in that area are going to yield results on the ground. So if anybody wants to join me in that effort, let me know. Thank you for being very patient. The next person who's going to be presenting their staff report is Brian DeShazer. And just a point before he starts, and this is relevant to you, Pete, Brian has pointed out that the use of the word archives for something that's very different physically, conceptually, and otherwise from the Pacifica Radio Archives actually creates problems, and we may need to think of a term together that accurately reflects what logged content digitally really is to distinguish all the effort and that goes into the archiving process of our programming, which is a very different thing. So,
call it
affiliates. We can call it affiliates. So, with that, yes.
I'd like to go out on a limb and make a motion. Is that
no, it isn't. We've got to get through the reports. You can do it in action items tomorrow. Okay? Brian. And you have 20 minutes. And just so people know, in the structure we're doing, we, in addition to rotating focus stations, we're also rotating focus staff reports. So at some meetings, certain staff have an expanded time, and the others have a briefer time, and that rotates. So that's why the archives and the affiliates program are being given 20 minutes each, and they've been asked to present for about 10 minutes, leaving 10 minutes for questions. What the 10 minutes for questions mean is not everybody gets to get their questions answered. Brian, go ahead.